Thank you, worship team. Thank you all. Thank you, congregation. We're a congregational church and choir and everything else. You know, the Lord gave me something the other day. We were sitting at the house talking, and we just went before the Lord. We just wanted to hear from him. And I've forgotten what we were talking about, but he said, we're talking about numbers, and he said, I don't know how it came up, but I mentioned 1 + 1, and he said, in the world, 1 + 1 = 2. He said, but in the spirit, the answer is always 1. He said, 1 + 1 = 1. 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. He said, because you see, we're 3 in 1. 3 distinct personalities, 1 God. He said, God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but we're 1. Then he said, when I brought you and Annalisa in, he said, when I called you as 1. He said, you're 1. We put you together that way as 1. Different male and female, but being used as 1. He said, it always comes back to 1. He said, we're going to feed you and the congregation is going to be fed. And he said, the Spirit of True Church is going to be operating on 1 mindset. 1. You're 1. He said, everywhere in the Bible, he said, it's about oneness. 1 God, 1 Father, 1 God above all and in all and through you all. 1. And that was very powerful to me because absolutely, that's where we're going. We're trying to walk in unity, the body as 1. And that little word right there, there is 1 name above all names. And that name is Jesus. And through that 1 name is the power that everything that we go through, that power in the name of Jesus carries us through. And I've been in situations where I didn't have a chance to rebuke. All I had a chance to say was Jesus. And it took care of itself. The demons fled in the name of Jesus. Because if you utter Jesus' name with conviction and you're connected to the vine, you're connected to the wall socket, the electricity is going to shock somebody if you put your finger in it. And that's how it is with Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. So I just say that to encourage us and to remind us that, hey, we're not a bunch of old toe-up Christians like, oh, woe is me, I can't do nothing no more. We got Jesus in us. We got the power of Jesus Christ in us. No matter what we're seeing, no matter what we're going through. Just like we talked about the other day, you know, don't think it's something strange that these fiery trials have come upon you. It's going to happen. But Jesus said, I've overcome the world. I've given you authority. So you can walk through and you say, yeah, I'm hurting today. Yeah, I'm tore up. Yeah, my son is doing this. Yeah, my people, they're messing with me at the job. But there's power in the name of Jesus. And Jesus is in us and with us. Let's not forget that, okay? So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for being who you are. That, Lord, there's enough of you to go around, more than enough, Lord, that we can thrive in you. We thank you, Lord, that you've invited us to your table, not just at Holy Communion, but today, right now, to feed, Lord God, to feast off this word. So be with us, Lord God. Let this word go out, and all who hear it, let their hearts be changed and transformed, that they might walk closer to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So the word he's given us, the sermon today is in pursuit of righteousness. In pursuit of righteousness, or what it means to pursue righteousness. So with that in mind, we first probably need to look at or at least somewhat define the word righteousness. And righteousness basically is uprightness. It basically means behaving in a virtuous manner. Okay. And some people even use a slang version of righteousness when characterizing something as a good thing. They say it's righteous. such as when members of various subcultures use the term righteousness. I notice that something being righteous, if they're recipients of something which they consider to be worthy or of merit, you may at times have heard people say that was righteous. Okay? And as a side note, sometimes they'll use this phrase righteous, and it'll be preceded by another slang word, which is dude. You've heard of that term? That's a popular urban term, the term dude. Okay? And that dude means buster, fellow, friend, etc., etc. What does that have to do with righteous? Well, you may hear them and they put it together and they say, dude, that was righteous. They do. I've heard that several times. Sometimes they would be on a skateboard or something, or surfing or something, whatever it is. But we get it. That it means it's all good. It's good. It's all righteous. Well, it's right, but righteous. Well, you know what I mean. Righteous. Anyway, so much for the various meanings of the term righteous. Obviously, just from this bit of preliminary investigation and information, we see that people can have different perceptions and ideas of what righteousness means, right? Okay? What it means to them. So we're here today to learn what it means, what it truly means, to pursue righteousness. All right? And that seems simple enough, but to pursue righteousness means to pursue or accomplish moral and ethical conduct or behavior, to pursue it. And even though that's honorable and commendable and all, we also must consider the standard of righteousness, okay, which we are pursuing. Because as I alluded to earlier, we all have our own ideas of righteousness and of what righteousness is left up to our mindsets, our ideas. So let's go to the Bible. What better place to search? Let's go to the Bible and see how it directs us in our pursuit of righteousness. Let's first go to Matthew. And we're going to review one which most of you are likely familiar with. As Brother Terry said earlier, he said something about using the word too much or use it over and over again. He said you can never reuse it too much. Why can't you use the word too much? Why is it? Because it tells us right there in Hebrews 4:12, right? The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even through the division of soul and spirit, of joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account, which means that you can look at this word one day and turn it around the next day and you'll get a different, it's like the old commercial. They said, wow, I could have had a V8. I just got an idea, This word is like that. So sometimes as much as I try to use something else or get away from it, the Lord puts me right back there and says, oh, but did you know this about this? So let's go to Matthew. And you all have seen this word many, this scripture many times before. But we're going to see what it has for us today. Matthew 6:33. I'm going to ask Pastor Annalisa, please take us there and read it for us. Please, Pastor.
Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first. Second? Third? First. Okay, I'm going to make sure I got that right. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you.
Okay. Thank you, Pastor. So here we are again at the address, Matthew 6:33. Is there more for us to learn from this scripture verse? Now, I know all those of you who know God, you know there's more for us to learn from this one scripture. See, Jesus, looking at it, Jesus doesn't say seek for the kingdom of God. He says seek first the kingdom of God. And what might that tell us? Well, just looking at it, I don't know. But just looking at it, for one thing, if the Lord was speaking to unbelievers specifically, he might say, seek the kingdom and all it has for you. Because they're not in the kingdom. But you notice here in this scripture text, we learn prior to this verse, if you go back and you do your in your study time, look before 6:33, and you'll see that Jesus was speaking precisely directly to whom? His disciples. People that knew him. People that knew the Lord. Get it? In other words, he was telling kingdom people, kingdom citizens, those already in the kingdom, to make sure that the first thing you do is to seek that thing that you are in. The first thing we need to do is seek the kingdom of God. But you say, I'm in the kingdom. Well, we're also in the world, but we're not of it, are we? Can we be in the kingdom but not of the kingdom? Food for thought, points to ponder, right? Think about it. What does it mean to be in the kingdom? Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. Be transparent. I never thought of it that way till the Lord gave it to me, like in the wee hours of the morning. And that's why I have to use this in this sermon. Like Terry said, I'm like, I get it. I got it. I see it. Oops. Right? And that's what it is to think about it. All of us, saved, born again, sanctified citizens of the kingdom of God, right? Is it possible that we can be members of God's kingdom, yet not pursue it, not even seek it? I think we all know the answer is, unfortunately, yes. You know how I know it's yes? Think about your relationship. Let's get away from the church for a minute, just for a second. I can't leave it too long. Think about your job. How many of you have a job and you've been there 10, 15, 20 years? What does it take to be vested in the job or to have tenure in the job? You know, like in the school system, a teacher can have tenure and that teacher can do just about what they want. And you know, they can hardly get rid of that teacher or their supervisor. How many of you know people at your jobs who have seniority and they come to the job and they work that job? They've got seniority in the company, but they only do enough to get by. They know everything. They know where to get stuff, paper towels, ink pens if you need them, take some home with you. No Christians, I know y'all don't do that. But I'm just saying, some people do it. They got all the information. They know when to get. They know when to get to the meeting. They show up sometimes on time. But they've got tenure. They're vested in the job. Oh, they're going to get their retirement and everything else. But they only do enough to get by. They coast through. Right? They've been there a long time now. Well, that's sort of what we're talking about here. We don't want to coast through God's kingdom. We have tenure. We are citizens of God's kingdom. We are children of the Most High God. He said, welcome. You are now in the kingdom. You're now in the company. You're now in my, the thing that I established. You're part of it. We said, wow, we made it. And we just get comfortable. Why look for it if you're already in it? Look for it. I'm in it. I know where it is. Do you? This scripture says, but seek first the kingdom of God. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God. Make it the first thing that we do. First thing that we do daily. How do you seek first the kingdom of God? See? Before you get up in the morning, he says, seek first the kingdom of God. Before the devil comes at you, seek first the kingdom of God. Sometimes in your dreams, seek first the kingdom of God. See, the devil messes with me in my dreams. In my dreams, the devil gives me to do things that I wouldn't do when I'm awake, and I wake up wanting to punch out somebody because I feel like I've been suckered. I do all I can to study and do this and do that, and in your dream you just did something you didn't want to do. So I pray to the Lord, Lord, be in my dreams. Fight this demon in my dreams. And last night I had three dreams in a row where they tried to get me to do what I didn't want to do. And one was to a point where there was a large crowd of people and we were getting in. The guy came and it was getting ready to go down. And he had the gun and I came and we were talking and I just wanted to take him out. And that was the Lord speaking to me. I'm the power. I control this. I'm in control of everything. Say this, and when I said it, everything just diffused. And I was so glad when I woke up because I sought first the kingdom, even in my dreams. Do you know how long it's taken me to get a dream like that? Now, all my dreams are not bad. Don't get me wrong. I have some sweet dreams. But the Lord knows that when it comes to violence, Lord, be in my dreams. And whatever it is that's in you that you have to work on, that's what this is. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and guess what? It's going to be added to you, just like he added it to me. I feel like I took one giant step forward for the kingdom, one large step for Joel Jones. But that's what he's talking about. So to seek the kingdom, and by our own standards or even by certain church standards, Jesus said, no, you got to seek the kingdom by my standards, not your own standards, not even particularly your church's standards. If you're in a church that's a compromising church or a casual church or a cultish church, you're not seeking the standards by God's. You're not seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness by God's standards. I'll tell you something else that happened. See, I'm transparent. I'll tell you like it is. Some Jehovah's Witnesses came to my home the other day. They came by and we were very busy, you know, we're moving, and they saw the sign, but still they came. And so I said, fine. And the guy came up, very handsome man, and I've seen him two or three times, very articulate, very well-dressed, him, his suit, and his wife, and everything. And he came up to me, and he said something like, brother, can I share a word with you? Well, what am I going to say, no? I said, sure. And I had on my sweat clothes and my baseball cap, and, you know, I was gritty and grimy, loading boxes, U-Haul truck out front. But they still came, and I said, okay, Lord. And so he came, and he said, would you agree that God is this, this, and this? And I said, yes, I would. I said, yes, yes, I would. And he said, well, do you agree that he loves us all and we should love? Yes, I do. And you know, we had a good conversation. And I didn't want to put him on a defensive or anything, because after all, we're busy. And I know he'll go to another home and do what he needs to do. It just wasn't the time. So I said, he said, well, thank you, sir. And I said, well, thank you, young man, and God bless you. And he said, well, God bless you. And I said something like, keep working. I think what I said was keep up the good work. And I said, someday, hopefully, we'll see each other in heaven. Something like that. He went on and left. Pastor Annalise was at the window. She's like, what did he say? Did you tell him? I said, tell him what? Did you tell him? I said, Annalise, it's not time to. I couldn't pull him in and give him a Bible class or anything. I said, we got things to do. And later on, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, you're my representative. He said, you told that man. He said, that man is going out preaching a word that's leading people to hell. That's what he said. He said, people are dying, going to hell. He said, and did I hear you say that we're going to all see each other in heaven? I couldn't even say, but Lord. He said, see, these tests, these things, I'm talking about when you seek first the kingdom of God, you better be on the money every time, on time, be ready in season, out of season. He said, see, you wasn't ready for that. He said, and see, the Lord will send something your way when you're preoccupied and you're like, okay, yeah, well, praise God, yeah, right on. And you're going about your business. But who's to say that that man, when he go down the street, won't get hit by a truck? Who's to say that the woman with him, following him, won't have a coronary right there and die? Where is she going? You see what I mean? These are things that we don't think about. I'm letting you know. I have to hold this scripture close to my heart every time. But the good thing about it is that if you miss it one time, try me again and watch what happens. Try me when I'm down. Try me when I'm tired. Try me when I'm in a hurry. Because in here, we're all tuned in right now. But oh, when you get hungry and you're on your way to the buffet, huh? And somebody stopped you then. And the guy down the road said, can I have a minute? Would you say, nah. Not now, I'm busy. So these are the things that when we go back to scripture and it's speaking very plainly, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Jesus was talking to his disciples and he was telling them this same thing right here, that we've got to seek it by God's standards. Because our standards vary. It depends on what we want at the moment. It depends on where we need to be at the moment. It depends on where we're going if we'll ask God, if we'll seek him. Like I always said, when we really want to be somewhere, we really want to go on that vacation, and we've saved our money, and they've given us those tickets, we're going, gone. But did you ask the Lord? Well, I'm sure he would approve it. But it says to seek first the kingdom of God. It says to pray without ceasing. That means speak to the Lord without ceasing. And when you see things blown up and people's bodies scattered everywhere, yes, it rains on the just and the unjust, but sometimes people are in the wrong place at the wrong time. We didn't ask the Lord. You didn't ask him when you bought that house. That big old house, and it was on the hill, far away from everybody. Because you wanted your privacy, like I like my privacy. You buy the house on the hill, and then 15 years later, the hill starts sliding. And you hear something and say, what's that? Not a trumpet, but something's coming. And your wall is sliding, and you... God wants the best for us, but his word is so powerful and the Bible is so plentiful that sometimes we can overlook the simplest command. Seek first the kingdom of God. So that's pretty deep to me. That's pretty deep. When you really sit in your alone time and you allow the Holy Spirit to run this down to you in your quiet time, you'll receive his instructions and it'll detail just where you are personally when it comes to seeking God in all things. This is not the time to go over it. I'm not going to query anybody here because, like I said, I get in my alone time and the Lord tells me where I am and where I need to be. Whether I like it or not, he's going to let me know. And he'll do the same thing with you. But we need to know where we are in our pursuit of righteousness. We need to really know where we are when it comes to seeking first the kingdom of God. And let me give you a little analogy concerning pursuing something, pursuits. When I did police work, we sometimes engaged in what is called hot pursuit, a hot pursuit. A hot pursuit means that there's an emergency. There's a life-threatening something happening. It could be a man with a gun, bomb. It could even be someone sick and the ambulance can't get there in time. You got to go. So you go what they call code 3, red lights, and sirens. That means your lights are on, your sirens are blaring. You've got to get there in the quickest amount of time that you can. Yet, you've got to see everything that's going on around you, but yet you're focused on getting to that point. It's called being in hot pursuit. That's what it's called. When you're in hot pursuit, you got to be aware, but you can't lose focus on the object of the chase. See what I mean? Cars pull out, children run across the street. You've got to make the decision. Do I go up on the curb? Do I shut down the chase? But you've got to get there if you can. That's the thing about going cold 33, the hot pursuit. Well, the Bible teaches us that we are in the world, but not of the world. The world, just like in hot pursuit in a police officer, we're in spiritual hot pursuit of Jesus. We are spiritually focused on the word, yet there are things happening around us that we can't really discount, but we've got to maneuver through them. There's going to be obstacles that come in the way, but the red lights have to be on. The siren has to be blaring. Get to Jesus, get to Jesus, get to Jesus. Follow Jesus. You see it happening. Ah, don't let it get upset you. Ah, you see it happening over here. Ah, don't let it get you down. Ah, don't go to that place. You've got to get to Jesus Christ. We've got to get through this because we are kingdom people and we're in the kingdom. But are we of the kingdom? We're in the world, but not of it. Can you be in the kingdom, but not of it? Can we be so placid and so happy that we're just glad to be here, Lord? And we just sit. We sit. And we know the word, but we really don't practice the word. Huh? We're really not pursuing the word. We're not really trying to get better. We feel like we've already arrived because we've got tenure. Huh? We're getting a retirement. Uh-huh. Eternal life. That's the retirement, in case you didn't know. So you already know that it's good, and they're not going to take it away, I guess. But that's what we have to look at. You see, the Bible teaches us that we are certainly in the world, but not of the world. And the distractions that come about tell us that distractions are going to be in our lives. But we really, really have to look at this because Jesus, when it comes to hot pursuit, that's what Jesus is defining in Matthew 6:33. And again, not so much to unbelievers, but to those already in his word. He's talking about us, you all. Those who are the church, those who consider the church to be in us, that's who Jesus is talking about. You see, in hot pursuit, one has to follow proper priorities in order to succeed in capturing what you're pursuing. If you intend on catching it, you've got to go down certain streets, and you've got to go at a rate that's conducive to meeting that obstacle or the subject at the right point. And that's what hot pursuit is. If a car is traveling at a speed of 65 miles an hour and it just left and it's at, say, in Oakland, downtown, and they say he's northbound on San Pablo Avenue, next thing you look up, he's crossing 35th. And he was in Jack London Square. You go, whoa, he's flying. So you got to alter your pursuit. You got to now go at an angle. You got to intercept. We can't do that in the spirit unless we line up with Jesus because we don't even know what's coming. So it's not so much about looking at what's focusing on what's coming at you, but focusing on who's with you. And that's Jesus Christ. That's why he says, seek first the kingdom of God, focusing on who is in you, who thrives and lives and has his being in us. That's what we have to focus on in everything that we do. Now, somebody right now is saying, oh, that's too much work. Well, it's harder to do it the other way. I'm going to tell you that right now. It's easier to do it with Jesus than it is to try to do it without Jesus. I'll tell you that. Because sooner or later, doing it by yourself, you're going to find out that you needed to be with him all along. Okay? That's right. It's like getting in the wrong line at the store. You should have just got behind everybody else because that cash register is closed. That's how it is when you try to do it by yourself, right? So it means that we've got to be expeditiously tactful in what we do and never losing focus on the object of our chase. And that's why doesn't the Lord tell us that to seek me as a deer pants for the water? Doesn't he tell us those things? Again, we're in hot pursuit. Then we have to follow those priorities. So what priorities are we to follow as Christ followers? Okay. Ask yourself, what are you pursuing? Are we coming to church because we're in hot pursuit of God? I think we're here at Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide. If I can be honest, I said 90% we're here to chase God. We're God chasers. I believe that. I believe we are here to do what the Lord wants us to do. Once in a while, like I said, most of the snowflakes here stick. But once in a while, you get some that melt and they're not ready yet. Okay, I don't discount people that come in that door and go back out the next day. I mean, then we don't see them again. They may not be ready for this for this type of thing. But they may want some appetizers, but they may not be ready to get the full meal. You see what I mean? But God is he's given us not just the entrees, but he's given us the meat and the potatoes and the vegetables. You know, everybody don't like Brussels sprouts, but you need them, okay? Yeah, broccoli and that. Everybody don't like that. Give them gas, but I'll tell you what, if you don't get the real nourishment, you're going to be full of hot air anyway, so you may as well get the right thing from Jesus. That's what I'm talking about, right? Right? Get the right thing from Jesus Christ. The living water. That's what it said in the word. That's what it said. So what we have to look at is, what are we pursuing? Are we coming to church? Are we just coming to church out of obligation? I believe, my perception, some people just come to church because they don't want to go to hell. Holy Spirit gave me that one. I didn't think about it till he told me a few days ago. Son, some people go to church because they're just afraid of going to hell. They don't want to go, so they go to church. Okay? Or at least they believe. They believe that coming to church, they can escape hell. Mm-hmm. They believe that. But let's look at what the Bible says. Let's go to Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Pastor, can you read that one for us, please?
Matthew 7, 21 to 23 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord, Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Mm-hmm. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Mm-hmm. Have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice, can you say practice?
Practice.
Lawlessness."
What an eye-opening scripture. Scary, too. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, except he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Now he says, and in that day many will say, "Lord, have we not cast out demons in your name? Done wonders in your name? Prophesied?" What is it to prophesy? Tell somebody about something that which is to come, to sort of foretell a future event, sort of like getting a revelation. Prophesying and a prophecy. When God gives you a prophecy, you can do all those things. Yet, when that day comes, the Lord going to say, "Who are you?" He said, "I never really knew you. See, I used you. but I didn't know you. I used you. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. I use you, but I didn't know you. That to me is scary. I worked for the Lord. I was a pastor. I used you, but I didn't know you. But I was the lead soloist in, I don't know, the so-and-so tabernacle upside down choir. I could sing upside down. You did, and many came to Christ, but I didn't know you. That's scary to me. I mean, when I take these scriptures and I sit down and read them and look at them when I'm not here, my mind goes somewhere else. I'm like, forgive me, Lord. And you start praying, because when you see what the Lord is talking about, he ain't fooling around. He's not fooling around. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the church. He's not talking to unbelievers. What unbelievers do you know that cast out demons? They ain't casting them out. The demons in them. So you know he's not talking about unbelievers. He's talking about the church. He's talking about leaders. He's talking about prophets. He's talking about teachers. He's talking about deacons and psalmists and soloists and speakers who stand in the pulpit, who stand and proclaim the word of God. I'm telling you, this scripture, it describes what happens when we neglect to operate or conduct ourselves by God's standards. See? The text here affirms that not everyone that calls on the name of the Lord and Master has submitted themselves to their Lord and Master. That's what it means. In many churches today, we see leaders, at least so-called leaders, and are serving as men pleasers. They're serving as association pleasers. They're serving as board and trustee pleasers, instead of being God pleasers. See? They're serving to please businesses in the neighborhood. Politician pleasers, but not God pleasers. Okay? But we're not placed in God's church to satisfy the whims of man, but the plan of God. That's why he calls us to a church. We're here to serve the plan of God and go by the order of God. You see, it goes back to the analogy of hot pursuit. Hot pursuit of God means following the path set forth by God. You don't go in your own way. You got to go by the way that God has formed, has set for you. He tells you that in the scripture, right? A man's heart plans his own way, but the Lord directs his steps. That's what it says. He wants to direct our steps in everything. So hot pursuit of God means being connected to God, then staying connected to God. It's like God is we're a train, and God is the first. He's the engine. We're just the coaches connected to the lead. So when he turns, we got to turn. When he goes another way and tells us to go another way, that's the way we've got to follow God doggedly, doggedly connected to the Lord. That's what we need to be asking ourselves. Are we doggedly connected to God? That's what he means. See, if you're in pursuit of God, if you're a God chaser, really, really a God chaser, he's not going to be able to just say that to you. He's not a double-crossing type of God. He's not going to say, yeah, you did all I wanted you to do, but guess what? I don't know you. No, God's not like that. See? He says, if they love me, they'll keep my commandments. And we already know he loves us, so we've got to love him to keep his commandments. And that's how God is. He's going to honor that. You honor God, he's going to honor you. And that's what we need to see in this scripture. And when it's like that, then you're not afraid of that scripture. But if we're not living to that standard, There's some things we better get in order. Let's look at some other scripture. Let's look at in the book of John. Let's look at this. John 15. And Pastor, can you go there? Did I give you that? John 15, verses 1 to 6. And read that for us, please.
John 15, 1 to 6 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Mm-hmm. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, mm-hmm. unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Mm-hmm. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Okay, Bible study folks. Can you say much fruit? Much fruit. Much fruit. Bears much fruit. And then it says, okay, where am I? Lost it. Go ahead, say it. Let me hear it. Amen. And then 6 says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Thank you, Bible study students.
Amen. They are burned. Now, that's a parable, but there's some hot times to be had if we're not careful about how we operate in Christ. So this text is telling us that Jesus is like a vine to whom we must be connected, right? And I know some good old Christians may say, excuse me, but I'm connected, been connected to Jesus. I've been connected since 1959. I'm connected to Jesus, boy, so don't you tell me nothing. I'm connected, and that's the way it's been. Okay, and all I can say to that is praise God. But I'm going to tell you this, he knows who's truly connected and who's not. So we can tell people we're connected all day, okay? My whole family Christian, some of my best friends are Christian. Good, praise the Lord, okay? But God knows if we're connected because he's going to see your fruit. That fruit. When you're connected to the vine, you're going to, what's going on through Jesus is going to be going on through us. You know, we're like blood brothers. We said the blood shall never lose its power. If the blood is in Jesus Christ, the blood should be in us. We should see the fruit. But God knows. God knows. Some of us can't tell a peach from a persimmon. I guess I'm one of them. But God knows. If I can't say it, I must not be able to recognize it. But God does. See, I don't have to. But God knows, doesn't he? See? God knows. And we want to be connected. We want to be connected to the Lord when we say I'm connected, because he truly knows if we're connected to the Lord. But what I also say is this. Once connected, we have to stay connected. See, we have to stay on the vine. We have to stay connected to the vine. He says right here what happens. You're cut away. You become withered and burned. You know, if you're not connected to the vine. If folks are connected, how do we become so easily disconnected then? How do we become so hateful toward each other? That's a form of being disconnected to the vine. Then we can preach the word and love the word, but not care about our brothers and sisters. There's something wrong with that. There's a disconnect somewhere. We're not connected to the vine when those things happen. You know, if we can walk away from our home church where we claim God has put us, and then we go out and we do something else, then there's a disconnect somewhere. Mm-hmm. If we're pursuing righteousness and we're clinging to the true vine, holding on and abiding in Christ for all we're worth, there are some things we're not going to be able to do. Mm-hmm. If So Jesus says in this text, without me, you can do nothing. So conversely, I figure without Jesus, we can do nothing. With Jesus, we ought to be able to do anything, right? When we're connected to the vine, the Bible tells us that with man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible, right? So it makes sense. God uses the parable in order to reveal his solemn truth to all of us who truly seek to follow him in righteousness. In righteousness. Again, not our righteousness, but God's righteousness. Because we all know that we've been born into sin ever since Adam and Eve fell. And Romans 3:23 tells us that, right? All have sinned, we know the rest, and fall short of the glory of God, right? We all know that, all right? So you see, there's no way we can keep from sinning because we're born into sin. All of us are sinners saved by grace. We can't keep from sinning unless what? Unless we cling to the vine. If we cling to the vine, guess what? We can keep from sinning. See? The vine is Jesus. Now look at this. Let's look at this scripture. I don't know if you've studied this, but let's go to 1 John chapter 3. Verses 4 to 9. Pastor, I'm going to ask you to read that all the way down to verse 9. 1 John 3, verses 4 to 9. I hope I gave you that. I did not? Okay. Oh, my mind's playing tricks on me. Go ahead. Let's. I think I. You got it? 1
John 3.
Mm-hmm. Verses 4 to 9.
Okay. 1 John 3, verses 4 to 9. Tonight says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that it was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin.
Okay.
Whoever abides in him does not sin.
All right.
Whoever sins has neither seen him nor know him.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go to 7?
Keep on going.
Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous,
mm-hmm.
just as he is righteous. Practice righteousness just as he is righteous.
Mm-hmm.
He who sins is of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever has been born of God does not sin. His seed remains in him, and he cannot sin. He cannot sin because he has been born of God.
All right. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. Now, just for timeliness sake, do we see that? Now, this is heavy duty. This is heavy. Because we always hear people say, well, we all sin. All have sinned and fall short of the glory. Now, we always said when we want to get away with something, we said, well, you can't judge me. I'm just a sinner. I can't do nothing else. And you sin, I sin, we sin. We're all sinners. True. True. But sometimes we focus on these things. And the devil will have us focus on them so much that we feel, like I said, so shoulders all slumped down. Well, woe is me today, Lord. What the devil gonna do to me today? I ain't nothing but a sinner. I might as well go on and sin some more and hope you forgive me. And smoke that joint or see that girl or tell that lie or go on and get high because I'm just a sinner and I can't help it. Really? The scripture says right here that you got help. I'm sending you help. Abide in me and you won't sin. Walk in me and you won't sin. Concentrate on me and you won't sin. Take every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and you won't sin. As it says in 2 Corinthians 10:5. If you walk in me, you won't sin. I abide in you and you abide in me, you can't sin. If you take your eyes off me, you will sin. As soon as we take our eyes off Jesus, now the deal's off. You're floating by the seat of your pants. We're floating by the seat of our pants when we take our eyes off Jesus, when we get out of hot pursuit, when we fail to pursue in righteousness because now we took our eyes off of him and the devil comes right in. Now we're pursuing unrighteousness. We've gotten off the course. We're not going down the proper road. We're headed toward the wide gate instead of the narrow road where Jesus says, concentrate on me. Do we see that? I'm going to tell you the devil is such a liar. He have you thinking that you're just a sinner. You're just a sinner. Don't worry about it. We all sin. All of sin and fall short of the glory of God. Sinner. You're a sinner. You can be a sinner and be a winner. The devil will tell you that. You're winning when you're sinning because we're all sinners. We got to have some winners. So you must be a winner because you're a sinner. The devil will twist that thing up all around, but he'll never tell you what Jesus said, if you abide in me and I abide in you. And without me, you become a sinner because without me, you can do nothing. But with me, you can do all things because all things are possible through me. You see what I mean? And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's me, by the way. He's telling us this. But we get away from that and we just say, woe is me. I'm just helpless and hapless. See, we need to take control. We said the same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in us. Well, this is what he's talking about right here. This is what he's talking about right here in this scripture. Look at what he says. Verse 5, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him there is no sin. Number 6, whoever abides in him does not sin. Well, wait a minute, Pastor. You said that all have sinned. Now, why you confuse us like that? Look at it again. Yes, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And stop it right there. Fast forward, move to the other avenue. Go to 1 John. Jesus says, whoever abides in me does not sin. So you have a choice, either to sin or not to sin. Yes, that is the question. Which do you want to do? Well, how do I do? How can it be both ways? Well, you can't. You're either going to sin or you're not. We're either going to follow Christ or we're not. Like I said, 1 Corinthians 10:21, you can't drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake at the Lord's table and the table of demons. You can't sit at each table at the same time. You got to choose, make your choice. See, you got free will. Choose this day whom you will serve. Isn't that what Joshua said in Joshua? That's right. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. Isn't that what the Lord said in Deuteronomy? I set before you death and life. Therefore, choose life that you and your descendants may live. You got a choice, he says. We've got a choice. We ought to highlight this. Whoever abides in, let's go to 6. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him or known him. See, that's terrible. That's terrible. That means that when we're going out doing our thing and sinning, Lord is saying, you don't know me. Not if you acting like that. You're making a practice of sinning. In Matthew 7:21-23, he said, those depart from me, those of you who practice lawlessness. That means that you keep going back to that thing. Pastor Annalisa just said, "Who instead of discipline ourselves, we're just going back to that thing." But it says that whoever abides in Christ does not sin. And like I say, we can try to twist this thing around, but it means that we're prone to sin. But guess what? We can also be prone not to sin. We can be, just as we're prone to sinning, we can be prone to not sinning. It depends on where you want to be. Because the world is telling us right here that if we abide, the word rather, if we abide in Christ, that means that we remain in Christ. We stay focused on Christ. We meditate on Christ. We seek Christ first, the kingdom of God, in regard to Christ. We live our lives and relationships in relation to Christ. And we walk in Christ so that we can perform through Christ. Because Christ is in us, so we do all these things spiritually in Christ. We are pre-wrapped, rolled just like a Tootsie Roll in Christ Jesus. So he is in us and we're wrapped in this package tight. There it is. See, sometimes you got to take this thing personal. I'm not going to be subjected to demons every time we turn around. We know they're out there. We know they're out there. We knew it rained this morning, but we knew we were going to get wet. But we went through the rain to get to Jesus. Did you not? Did you not drive here? For all those who said, well, it's raining. Okay, we'll pray for them. But you got here. You went through the storm to get to Jesus. I'm here to tell you, we're going to go through some storms. But Jesus says, stay focused on me. Abide in me, and I'm going to get you through everything. Oh, man, make you want to fight spiritually. Spiritually. See, we give the devil too much credit sometimes. Thinking devil made me do this. He made me do that. Surely he is the enemy. Mm-hmm. He can be a thorn in our sides. But guess who let him be a thorn? That's right. And our flesh. This scripture tells it all. It's up to you. We have a choice either to follow that demon and unrighteousness or follow Jesus and pursue righteousness. Look at that verse 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. Saints, if we practice righteousness, we will be righteous just as Christ is righteous. You want to tell somebody you're righteous? Practice righteousness. You won't have to tell them. The Lord will tell them for you. He'll go before you. He'll be your rear guard. Your fruits will tell people what you are. You won't have to go. In fact, if you're following Jesus, you won't feel like telling nobody you're righteous. You're too focused on the Lord. You're too focused on yourself, because our righteousness is as filthy rags. So we've got to get with the Lord if we stand the chance to be righteous at all. I thought that word, you can't get around it. Can't get over it. Look at 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5 for a minute. Pastor, can you read that one for us, please? 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5.
2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5 says, for though we walk in the flesh, mm-hmm. we do not war according to the flesh. Mm-hmm. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ.
Thank you, Pastor. To the obedience of Christ. That means having our minds perpetually and continuously on Jesus in everything we do. Can we do that? Not without abiding in Christ. Let me ask another more poignant question. As my son said, for real, ask me a real question. Okay, let me ask you this. Ask yourselves this. Do I want my mind stayed on Jesus all the time? That's a deep question. Because truth is, some folks, for various reasons, don't want to think about Jesus at certain times. Mm-hmm. I always use that example, Miss Pretty Little Thing. When you're thinking about Miss Pretty Little Thing, you might not be thinking about Jesus. When you think about Mr. Big Stuff, you may not be thinking about Jesus. That's why some folks can easily sin. Sometimes, soon as we get out the church, that some people can leave God's house and be, sooner or later you find them in the crack house. Some people can leave God's house on Sunday, they'd be in the house of ill repute on Monday. Some folks can study about the agape love of Christ 1 minute. 2 hours later over dinner, they speaking hateful words about their own family. Been in church, been in the word, but there's something missing. See, there's a disconnect. And we could go on and on with that. Any examples of how we put Jesus on the shelf? Close the door. Close the door on Jesus. I don't want him to see me now. Can't talk to him right now. I got something to do. Oh, that person that made me, that talked about me, that's it. I'm telling him off. And Jesus is saying, pray for him. Somebody close the door on Jesus. I can't talk to him right now. I got to take care of this business. When it get quiet, that means we're getting it. Like I said, we could go on and on. It's good because we're thinking, right? These are all examples of how we can become detached from the vine. That's what I'm trying to say. In other words, how we can let go of the rope of Jesus Christ. See, we got to see ourselves climbing this rope. Jesus is the rope. He's the rope in our jungle gym. You know what a jungle gym is? And it's got all kinds of little swings and the kids play on it. Well, Jesus is that rope that you climb up. And you got to hold on to him lest you fall. He's the jungle. He's the rope of life. He is our rope in life. He is our spiritual lives. Jesus is that. He's the banister on the stairway of life on a slippery slope. Then he's the banister. You cannot afford to let go of that banister and think you're going to make it up to the top of those stairs and fall. We'll fall without Jesus. We'll fall without Jesus. Can we keep on sinning? You tell me. Can we make it up that steep slope? Even if there's a slippery slope. Yes, we can make it up because we got Jesus to hold on to. You see what I mean? We got Jesus to hold on to and not let go of him. And it stands to reason that we can keep on following Jesus. And if we keep following him and keep our hands on Jesus, if we pursue him, he is the one to keep us from falling. That's what the word says. He can keep us from falling. We can depend on him to keep us from falling repeatedly into sin. That's what I'm trying to say. If we hold on to the guardrail, which is Jesus, which God has provided in us through his son, Jesus Christ. If we hold on to Jesus and not let go of him, not even for a minute, not even for a second, can we afford to take Jesus out of the equation? That's what it takes. That's what it takes for us to not fall. Problem is, I mean, the point, not the problem, but the point is, are we willing to go that far? Because some of people are going to be thinking when they hear this, but you talking about thinking about Jesus all day? Everything I do, I got to run it by Jesus? Duh. Yeah. Let's be honest. Do we do it? Of course not. But we're works in progress, aren't we? We're works in progress. And 1 John 3, I think it's verse 3, tells us that he who has his hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. We've got to shoot for that mark, as Paul says. I reach for the prize of the upward call of God. In Christ Jesus, I'm reaching for Jesus. I'm focused on Jesus. I'm pursuing righteousness in Jesus by his standards and not my standards. That's it. Again, if we pursue righteousness, we must be in hot pursuit of Jesus. That means red lights flashing, sirens wailing, as a deer pants for the water brook, I'm looking for Jesus. I ain't got time. And I ain't got time for nothing else. Come on, Sister Jeanette. That's the way that song should have gone. When you busy thinking about Jesus, you ain't going to have time for nothing else. Right? Mm-hmm. So as I begin to close this, let me say this. Our pursuit of Christ is one that is spiritual, which means that it's a mindset, and the Bible tells us that. It gives us all these examples in Ephesians 6:12, right? It's all about the principalities and the powers, right? Tells us all about that. It's a mindset. It's a place in our mind. You can call it spiritual brainwashing, if you will, right? If the Lord wills, we'll continue to talk about this next week if he says so, and we'll elaborate further on it, because there's some things that, you know, people will tell you if you're following Jesus, oh, you just, ooh, you too, ooh, you way out there. You brainwashed. And like I always say, you're either gonna be brainwashed by the devil, the world, or you're gonna be brainwashed by the Lord. At least with Jesus, he washes the world out of your brain. That's the type of brainwashing I get with Jesus. He has washed the world out of my brain, and he's consistently scrubbing. And I like that, scrubbing bubbles, that he washes that world out of you. Amen. So God willing, we may continue this next week, but just keep that in mind. Keep that in mind, that we're either going to be pursuing righteousness by the Holy Spirit, or we're going to be pursuing righteousness by demonic forces and the unholy spirits that come along. Given the choice, I think we all want to follow Jesus Christ, and that's pursuing him in righteousness, and we pursue the Lord by the Holy Spirit and stay in pursuit of righteousness. Amen? Amen. And to those of you listening, who are you pursuing? What are you pursuing? Are you pursuing at all? Or are we just here? The Bible tells us that there is only one way to eternal life with God, and that is through his Son, Jesus Christ. He gave his life for us, and he sets out a plan for our lives. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He formed you for a purpose, and that purpose was that we be made in the image of God. He died and went to the cross and made a way for us so that we could avert sin and come back full circle and be with him. That's what this is all about. In pursuit of righteousness. How about you? If you want to pursue righteousness, you must pursue Jesus. That's where it starts. We can't be righteous. We can't have any hope or semblance of attaining true righteousness unless we're connected to the vine, and the vine is Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible tells us that if we ask him into our lives, he stands at the door and knocks. He's been knocking at your door if you don't know him. Maybe you didn't hear his knock. Maybe you didn't recognize it. But we're here to tell you that if you're hearing this broadcast, or if you're watching this on Periscope, Jesus is talking to every one of you who does not know him. He's saying, come with me. I'll put you on the road to righteousness. I'll protect you from demons. And you'll see me in heaven. You'll see all your loved ones. All those who have gone before you. And those who come after you. But it starts with Jesus Christ. If you don't know how to get to Jesus, I'll give you a simple prayer. All you have to do is pray this prayer with me. And believe in your heart that he will accomplish what he says and you'll be a child of God. Take us a few seconds. Just repeat after me and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I want to get to know you. I believe that you died for me and you were raised on the third day by God. And I'm asking you to come into my life now and be my Savior. I will allow you to guide me in my life. In other words, be my Lord and Savior. I'll do all I can to follow you, Lord, if you accept me. In Jesus' name. That's all it takes. If you've prayed that prayer, congratulations. We're going to applaud because the Bible says when one is saved, heaven rejoices. So we're rejoicing. We don't know who was saved, but we pray that sometime we'll get a chance to talk. And it may not be until we get to heaven. And you'll say, yeah, you were the one that I heard give that message, weren't you? I guess I'll remember. I don't know. But I know God knows. And we want to congratulate you right now. We are Spirit of Truth Church worldwide. And all you have to do now is get yourself a Holy Bible and ask the Lord to direct you to a church where they serve Him. And they serve Him wholeheartedly. The Holy Spirit is going to do the rest. He'll come into your life and He'll take away the things that need to be pruned out of you. Because you will now be connected to the vine. Amen. Amen. We are Spirit of Truth Church worldwide, and you're welcome to come and worship with us. You're welcome to visit. You're welcome to join, whatever the Lord puts on your heart. We will pray for you. If you are in between churches, we'll be a covering over you. All you have to do is come to us and ask us and let the Lord just lead you in all things. So now we're going to go to our deliverance prayer where we